co-host's log, stardate 91054/7. It is the 300th day of our 5-year mission to do Wikipedia stuff. And I'm suspecting that my co-host Caitlin is mad at me for how long I'm taking to record this log. So I'm just going to keep it short. Stay breezy, computer. Beep boop.
Yeah, I've been waiting to use the log all day. Matt actually, that was like the 10th take of that captain's log. Sorry, co-host log. And I think he got it right. I'm not sure the date was right.
I think I messed that up and I didn't get the right intonation on keep it breezy.
Yeah. but it's going to have to do because, you know, we got a spaceship to fly, you know?
This is uncharted territory. We're not in Wikispace anymore.
We're not in the Wikispace. But we do, fortunately, have a special guide.
Hey, guys. It's me, John. I'm here to join you on your Wikipedia questing on your 5-year mission to boldly go where a bunch of Star Trek nerds have written everything about Star Trek.
Nice. Cadet, we did not give you permission to speak, nor did you ask for it.
Oh, well, I thought that was an introduction. Sorry.
Misunderstood. I was just saying that we did have a guide. I wasn't telling you to tell us about yourself.
All right.
When you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. They should have taught you that at the academy.
Lesson number one, it's Starfleet.
Look,
Academy.
Starfleet isn't what it used to be. You know.
Damn it. Must be all the time travel and shit.
Time travel will really fuck you up. The 29th century is some shit.
Well, we're still here in the good old 21st century. And thank you for joining us today, John, on our little 50th anniversary Star Trek special episode.
Is that what this is?
Yeah,
it is the 50th anniversary.
Correct. Wow. Star Trek first aired in September of 1966 on NBC.
Wow. Yeah.
Time flies. Seems like it was just yesterday.
Especially when you're going at warp speed.
Yeah.
I was just doing like finger guns and I realized that because I'm doing the clicks this week, you couldn't see shit.
It's an audio medium, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The listeners definitely didn't get any of that. Oh well.
Do we want to we should mention that we're not in the normal quadrant, we'll say, of the internet that we typically record the show in.
Yeah, we're not in the wiki.
We're not
in the
wiki core, as they say.
Yeah. Well, when you think about all the different like Wikipedia style sites out there, it's more than like
four.
It's more than quadrants.
It's true. It's a whole. It's sort of a shorthand, though.
Sure. And thematically appropriate. But yeah, this week we're using Memory Alpha, and we got John Mills here to help us not fuck this up, since you know way more about Star Trek than either of us do.
Yeah, it's always been a fun show to watch. I've enjoyed watching every single episode and every movie of this show. But there's still stuff that I don't know or don't remember because I haven't seen every episode multiple times, but you know,
there are hundreds of episodes.
All right, there's over 700 between the original series, then the animated series, then Next Generation, then Deep Space Nine, then Voyager, and then Enterprise. There was an animated series in the 70s.
Did you watch all of that?
I did watch. There's only like a season and a half, basically. So there's 20 something episodes. I mean,
that's still some dedication.
Still a lot.
Look, I am nothing if not a completionist, and so I had to do that for myself. But you know, some of them are okay, but most of them are pretty bad in the animated series.
I wasn't gonna bring this up, but to my knowledge, you watched all of Star Trek while we were in college, right? Like while we were actively taking classes.
Yep.
Like start to finish. How many months was that?
So
how many episodes did you average a day?
So if so, some lady out there, she watched every episode ever of Star Trek in the span of a year, and to do that you have to watch 3 episodes a day. For about 300 days. You know, maybe a little less, but it gives you a couple days off and then there's time for the movies and stuff. But when I watch it, I would do it. So I'd go to school, do school, and then I'd come home, and then before going to bed, I'd watch like an episode or two. And so I did that for probably 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, every day?
I mean, it wasn't every day. I took like month long breaks, and then like when I wasn't watching one series, I would watch something else. Like, I also like watched a lot of the X-Files. I watched a lot of Bones. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh boy. Speaking of Bones, damn it. I'm a doctor, not a podcast host.
Boom. Boom.
Jokes. We got Star Trek jokes.
Yeah, back the heart of the original trio.
Now, okay, I just want to cut to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about what is the trouble with Tribbles?
It's,
well, Caitlin, Tribbles is our topic.
What's the trouble with them?
We gotta fucking get to them. That's the trouble.
Where are they?
If Tribbles in the sort of wiki space work anything like their fictional counterparts do, the longer we take to find them, they will multiply through the other pages.
Easier it will become.
Yeah, it will just be, we'll be tripping over them.
Yeah.
We can't help but run into them.
But yeah, that's our goal, those little
furry friends.
Faceless, featureless, limbless bastards. That's
sort of horrifying if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
John, do you know how they reproduce? Like, that, do they, like, divide?
That is something that is either not addressed or I don't remember. Pretty much, so in the original episode, Trouble with Tribbles, the reason that they reproduce so prodigiously is in part due to their biology, but also in part due to the fact that they get a hold of a grain store of Quarto Triticale, which is a grain that the Enterprise is transporting to a colony that is in dire need of food. And so they are transporting this grain, and they're taking it from a space station in kind of closer to Klingon space, and they need to go get this grain and then take it to the colonists so that they have food to eat. And
a totally thrilling, action-packed.
The colony survives. Yeah, and so
there is a bar fight in that episode.
Exactly,
that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, the real intrigue of that episode surrounds the Klingon Federation interaction. So,
There's a fucking guy. There's a guy who is a Klingon, but then he
in the DS
to look human.
Right, in the DS9 episode, Klingons are pretty long-lived as a species, so he was both around then as a Klingon, one of the guys involved, but then he also shows up on Deep Space Nine and kind of messes around with stuff, and then they time travel back, and that's how that episode happens in Deep Space Nine.
Right, well, the stakes of the DS9 episode where they time travel back is like, oh, he's gonna kill Captain Kirk or something, and like, oh, that's exciting. But what you're telling me is that the original Tribbles episode, which I don't super recall, is about them transporting grain.
Well, so
the Tribbles eat all the grain,
right?
And so actually, they are pretty fucking terrible,
right?
And not cute, because now those colonists are gonna die.
I have a question though. Can you eat Tribbles?
It is never discussed.
I'm gonna assume yes, and I'm gonna send us on
our
journey.
A nice triple steak.
We're leaving Stardock.
I picture you slice them open, and it's just like a ham in there. Like it's just a uniform piece of flesh. Is what I picture.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just more fur.
All the way through.
Caitlin, can I have Can I have you issue the command to
Matt? Click the link.
I was hoping you'd say something like engage or something Star Trek-y.
I have a confession. I never graduated from the academy. I don't know how to fly this spaceship.
Oh, man.
How did you get your pips?
I don't know. I stole.
Did you just glue them on there?
I stole them, yeah. They're uniform? Actually, they're just like thumbtacks with the tack part clipped off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, well, click the link we'll have to do. Let's go.
Engage.
All right, step one, Samuel T. Cogley.
I don't know. Who is this man?
So let's see here.
Attorney at law.
Cool, we got a lawyer.
A male human civilian in the 23rd century. He was an attorney at law at Starbase 11.
Okay.
God, what a fucking thrilling, gripping television show. I feel like I have been whisked away to an entirely different and better world.
Yeah, where lawyers still exist in the 23rd century. Yeah. Well, this guy is from the episode from the original series, Court Martial.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess, you know, he defended somebody? Prosecuted somebody?
Kirk is being tried for culpable negligence, leading to the death of Ben Finney, who was just a red shirt, pretty much,
some guy
caught in an ion storm that Kirk, during the storm, Kirk had ejected an ion pod, and apparently Finney was inside it. That's just right off
and
the page
totally,
there.
It was totally probably Kirk's fault, I bet. You know, he did.
It seems Kirk is always strong willed, and Kirk's going to do what Kirk's going to do. He's all about being Kirk. And so if he steps on some toes, it's the toes' fault in Kirk's mind.
He kills a guy in an iron spark.
He kills a guy.
Hey.
Yeah.
It happens.
Is he your favorite captain, John?
Me? Yeah. Kirk, no. Kirk's a little brash, does a little... he does a lot of stupid stuff, so he's the one that probably, out of all the captains, just, like, violates the prime directive in the most, like, blasé kind of way, while at the same time being... all pious about the prime directive. He's like, we hold the prime directive. And
so who's your favorite?
So
who's your person?
Oh man. So for me, it's really a toss up between, Picard and, Avery Brooks, who plays Captain Sisko, who starts out as Commander Sisto. But, I think part of that is that on the whole, DS9 is my favorite Star Trek series. Yeah, I think those two are really the best leaders that kind of have to deal with the choices of being in command in a way that Kirk never really has to. I mean, he has to deal with some consequences. So, like in the episode City on the Edge of Forever, he goes. They end up on a planet. They go through a portal. It sends them back
Star
in time.
Trek, they're on a planet. They're going through portals.
Yeah, and when this portal's like sentient, and it's like, okay, and so they accidentally...
It definitely sounds like Star Trek, but you could also be making this all up, and I'd have no way to verify this.
So yeah, so I think it's either Spock... I think Spock accidentally steps through this arch and gets teleported back to the 30s in the United States, and then Kirk goes after him to save him because they're buds. And so while they're in the 30s, Kirk basically falls in love with this like very selfless woman who's running basically like a soup kitchen for people in like a city. And so it's also tied into like the lead up to World War II. And so the way that history progresses,
doesn't Spock punch Hitler is my first question.
Well, so there's also a Nazi episode, but that's a different one.
There's a Nazi episode.
Yeah.
We should, I don't want to cut you off.
No, go for it.
One, I gotta say it. My favorite captain is Scott Bakula.
Oh no,
the human man, just like the guy,
human,
Scott Bakula?
The human man, the actor Scott Bakula. Not
is your
not
favorite
John Archer.
That doesn't count.
Caitlin, do you have a favorite captain off the top of your dome?
Captain Janeway, obviously.
Yeah,
Janeway. I mean, look, she had to do something that no other Starfleet commander or captain had to do ever, which was face her crew and tell them, yeah, we kind of oopsed and we're 70 years from home and now I have to take care of you for the next 70 years. And
they didn't oops, to be fair, right? We can't get into this. We have to get into the fact that there's a link on the side of this page that says Butch Hartman draws the Danny Phantom trio 10 years later.
No, but how did... No, I do... How did Voyager get lost, though?
So Voyager was originally... It was a brand new ship commissioned by the Federation, and it was going on its maiden voyage. It's an Intrepid-class ship, which means it's really fast. It's doing kind of reconnaissance stuff, but also...
Is that why it's longer? Is that why it's a skinnier ship? Because it's really fast?
Part of... Skinnier ships are faster. Well, yeah, because of space physics. Uh-huh. That's exactly why.
It's aerodynamic, yeah.
Yeah, so what they're doing is that it's both good for, like, longer voyages, but also it's good for conserving energy and kind of going as starships go. And so it was just christened. Basically, they all show up at Deep Space Nine, the whole crew, in the first episode. So in the first episode, Janeway's kind of, like, gathering her squad, and... They all meet a team together like Fast and Furious. That's as close of... That's a good analogy. There you go.
That explains it for me perfectly.
There you go. She was, dare I say, building her family. And so...
You absolutely may dare say that.
I dared. And so they all meet up at DS9, and that's where they all see Voyager for the first time. Hop on Voyager, and basically there was... a rebel faction that was created for the express purposes of starting off Voyager's trip. They're called the Maquis, and they're like an interspecies rebel group that sits on the border of Cardassian and Federation space.
You're saying out of fiction.
So
this
thing
was devised so that there'd be like inciting action for this show, not like a bunch of rebels banded together so that Starfleet would launch a spaceship after them. That didn't happen.
No. So the writers were like, okay, how do we make something interesting? And so what they decided was they'd create this Maquis group, which is M-A-Q-U-I-S.
Wait a minute, John, I might be jumping ahead a little bit here, but if I recall correctly, the first episode of Star Trek Voyager, they get fucking transported across the galaxy, and then they're confronted by a bunch of fucking country bumpkins offering them like lemonade and shit, being like, it's totally okay.
Absolutely.
So within like the first half hour of this new Star Trek series, you go from something that's very Star Trek and like space stations and we're chasing the rebels to then something that's also very Star Trek, but in like the worst way, which is just like,
yeah, I mean, it gets a little Twilight Zone-y. Yeah, it gets a little Twilight Zone-y because, like, what they're doing is they're, like, trying to disorient them, and they're saying, like, so, let me back up. So, well, what happens is they go into an ion storm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's an ion storm. They go into the Badlands, basically, around Deep Space Nine, which is just kind of, like... really unpredictable area of space, and while they're there chasing these Maquis, these rebels who are basically want independence from both Federation and Cardassia, they get pulled by this sentient space station. Pretty much it's not a the space station isn't sentient, but there's like a really long-lived being that pretty much controls the space station, and so he like hyper warps them all, both the Maquis and the Federation, into the Delta Quadrant, because he's basically looking for DNA to cure him. He's dying and he needs, you know, specific species DNA sequence, and he doesn't know what it is. So over time, he's just kind of like warped the weirdest things all the way out to his space station instead of
just
like
taking whoever he can find.
Exactly. And so basically, he rips these rebels and these like, you know, loyal Starfleet people halfway across, you know, space, and then says, oh well, turns out you're not what I'm looking for, and then he immediately dies, and so they can't get
bummer.
Back and so
I did not
now,
know that he just fucking passes away.
That's way crazier than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, and then he just dies at the end of that episode, and they're like, damn it, we're stuck. And so
like, well, they can't figure out how to use the space station.
Well, no, because it's the
you have to be really, really old. It's got
well,
like
it's
a...
the organism that runs, basically. So
you must be this ancient to operate this.
Yeah,
this machine.
It's got like a retinal
actually
spinner.
Not true. That's so. Basically, they blow up the space station to stop these basically space terrorists from taking it over.
Yeah, that seemed like a mistake.
Well,
honestly.
So Janeway makes the hard call. Janeway has to say either protect these planets and these life forms in the general area that they've shown up in the Delta Quadrant, mm-hmm. or right. try and use this and then leave this, you know, long range, you know, space station here for these intergalactic terrorists to exploit and subjugate okay. these species around the area. And so they blow it up after the, you know, so ancient creature dies, they get in a conflict with these space terrorists, they blow it up, and then they have to go back to the Alpha Quadrant in a 75 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, so yeah, then they gotta walk back.
I mean, so they did kind of goof it up, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, so they could have technically gotten
like
back
a major
to the
goof up to me.
So they technically could have gotten back to the Alpha Quadrant in that episode if they had, you know, spent the time, figured out the technology, and then just shot themselves back. But the Maquis and the Starfleet people came together and they're like, no, we're going to stop these people from getting this powerful system that they could really do a lot of damage to the surrounding, you know, sentient life. And so
Starfleet sounds kind of fucking lame now. Now that,
well, I mean,
this,
so
with
it's
this object
it's,
lesson.
So, well, so
stranded.
I mean, it's between like these. So the Maquis themselves are considered terrorists by Starfleet. They do a lot of like blowing up stuff. They're like the weathermen kind of, but they're not as
fun, right?
Huh?
They're not as fun, right? They sound a little less
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, I mean,
were the weathermen fun?
Oh yeah, yeah, they were fun guys.
yeah. Hold on, wait
a
minute.
Good joke.
Now I'm just popping up another tab because I don't really know this much about it, and unfortunately, I don't think the Weather Underground has a page on Memory Alpha.
No, no, they don't. They're far left, kind of radical. Some would say terrorists, because they would blow things up. Technically, they didn't usually try to kill people. They would just try and disrupt capitalism by.
Okay, so we're talking about the Weather Underground now, and not the Maquis.
Right. I mean, they're roughly similar. They're roughly similar. I mean, the Maquis basically just want independence from both Cardassia and the Federation because they've had conflicts, and basically Cardassia and the Federation signed a treaty which gave these previously Federation planets back to Cardassia, and so it's kind of like a buffer zone, and the Cardassians are just trying to get rid of these colonists that have been there for a couple generations, and they're like, no, this is our home now, you guys can all fuck off. But the Federation's also like, we're not going to help you, and we have to maintain our treaty. So the Maquis basically take things into their own hand and try and force everybody out, except for them. So
we got to play this game.
Okay, we got, yeah, where are we going? Where are we going?
I think the link we should click, if I have my choice, is this one on the sidebar that says, relax, Pikachu has been evolving for 20 years.
Dude.
Or
yeah,
maybe
I mean, Pikachu
five
is,
long
Pikachu
video games
cute.
To sink 100 hours or more
no, Pikachu
into.
Pikachu and Tribbles are cute, so that makes sense.
I can see it.
I didn't realize that this was going to be so distracting to me, all of these links to other Wikia
media
pages
yeah.
On the wiki. Because on Wikipedia, it's so clean and...
Right.
Like, very literally pure. It says here, there's a related articles thing at the top of the page that you would think is going to be only other Star Trek articles, right? But it says, or I can click the link to Jim Kaplan, which is on the Family Guy wiki.
Right.
He's a Family Guy character. Or Kevin McCann on the show Castle.
We're not going there. We're not going
to. We should definitely go to the original series, I think. But this is... I miss Wikipedia. I can't believe I'm saying it, but like Wikipedia is so clean and to the point, and that seems gross to even say, because you and I both know, Caitlin, that Wikipedia is rarely anything like that.
You know, Matt.
But comparatively...
Let me tell you something about Wikipedia. It's a very good website, okay? It's a great, great website. And I'm shocked that it took you... I'm shocked that you had to see another website in order to realize how great a website Wikipedia is. But I guess that's what it takes for some people.
Ghost Rider is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and you don't give a fuck, do you?
No, I'm going to click on the original series, step two.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. The classic.
Classic.
The OG. Or I guess the OS, I suppose.
There you go.
Eh? There she is. The well, I guess not the first of her name, the USS Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's and then there's other ones, and there's also an actual space shuttle in real life.
Yeah,
But mm-hmm. it did come before that one.
But how many?
Well, yeah, that's right.
That's true. Yeah, I guess. But can that space shuttle? Can it even do impulse speeds? I don't think so.
Is that
not the real life one? No.
Was that space shuttle named after the Star Trek spaceship?
My inclination is to say yes.
Yeah, I kind of suspect that too.
Well, there's like naval ships called Enterprise, right?
Yeah. Really about those. What are they? Do they float in the ocean? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know what?
That's not cool anymore. You know what's cool?
Sticks float in the ocean. What's
cool? $1 billion.
Yeah, that's oh boy, got that right.
Now, it occurs to me just now for the first time ever in my life that at a certain point in human history, the ocean, or like the seas, basically were like space.
Yeah, Star Trek plays on that a couple of times. Yeah.
Really poetic.
Yeah,
I mean, it's when you think about it for a bit. Uh-huh. Think about it.
So you've just had a realization that pretty much everyone else has already had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now hold on, because I think this is pretty deep, and it warrants some more exploration.
Deep like the sea.
Deep.
Ooh.
See.
Or deep like space. Or both.
Like Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to note something here on this page for the original series that is kind of pedantic, if you ask me.
Yeah.
All right.
It shows the logo for Star Trek at the top of the page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yellow letters. And then you scroll down past a picture of the ship and of the crew, and then it shows you the exact same logo, but in blue. And it notes, this is the blue logo from season 3, as though that's really important.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why do you think they made that choice?
Is this a thing amongst Trekkies, John? Like, do you like yellow logo or blue logo more?
Is this a Trekkie-Trekker divide?
I don't think the logo itself is, but there's definitely been changes to the opening sequence, like the title sequence for most of them. They've changed between the seasons. Definitely, the late seasons of some of them are different than the early seasons for the opening.
I guess for completeness.
I know
yeah.
Next Generation definitely has a different one, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, there are new characters. I'm pretty sure DS9 has some difference. And then there's also a difference in the Faith of the Heart opening for the beloved Enterprise series.
Now, can you sing me a couple bars of the Enterprise theme, or do I have to be the one to do it?
I mean, if you want to do it together,
doing this over, you know, I think it's got to be a solo endeavor because we're doing this with some time delays over the internet, and you know, we just, you know, the technology's not quite there yet to do a live duet, so it's got to be you or me.
And actually, seeing
as I outrank you, I can kind of just order you to do it.
Yeah, you can just tell him.
God damn it! I wish I wasn't the Wesley. But it's funny because it's
I've met fucking Wesley Crusher, right?
Yeah, that piece of shit.
Fucking Will Wheaton, piece of shit, garbage boy.
I didn't know there was so much animosity towards Will Wheaton between you guys.
This has come up on the podcast before, trust me.
Do you think it would be more unpleasant to talk to Will Wheaton or to Jake Lloyd? Like, which of those boys do you think is more bitter and angry about their child acting career?
Well, gosh. Golly, this is a real humdinger of a question you're asking me, Caitlin.
I know.
Because on the one hand, you've got Will Wheaton, who I have had the displeasure of talking to, and who is just a real stinker.
Who officially sucks, right?
He inexplicably has a career still, based mainly off of the fact that he was on Star Trek as a boy character who everyone hated, which is like a real turnaround.
Now, is his career like an acting career?
Yeah.
Okay. He shows up in The Big Bang Theory as himself.
Ah!
Yeah, that's the kind of roles he decided to pursue.
Oh man.
Meanwhile, Jake Lloyd, and do you know what happened to Jake Lloyd? Either of you?
I could not tell you.
Okay. Let's go back to the year 1996.
Okay.
It's a good year. It's a
Bill
Clinton isn't so much of a scumbag in everybody's eyes yet.
He is. People don't know.
People don't talk about
Star Trek DS9 and Star Trek Voyager are on the air.
That's a perfect time for Star Trek.
1996 was before Jake Lloyd became a famous boy.
No, it was not, because I believe 1996 is the year that Jake Lloyd's breakout role in Jingle All the Way captivates audiences.
Okay.
So think about this. You're in a charming Christmas classic with
megastar.
With multiple megastars, mind you.
And future governor of California.
Yeah.
And Sinbad.
Right.
Megastars chock-a-block. Right. And you turn in a great performance as Arnold Schwarzenegger's son who wants nothing more than a Turbo Man. Great stuff. Then, opportunity of a lifetime, you're cast as the young Anakin Skywalker, the future Darth Vader in the Star Wars prequel.
Yeah.
Fucking once.
We have high hopes for this movie. Everybody is waiting with bated breath for this movie.
Yes, and I love how we're now talking about Star Wars on the Star Trek episode.
It happens. And then, you know.
And then you're filming it, you're doing pod races, you're having trouble pronouncing certain words. Definitely you should go back and watch him try to say Coruscant, because he says Coruscant in all these cut takes.
Whoa.
Wow, deep cut, Matt.
And that's my deep cut contribution.
They just handed him the script and assumed that he could figure that word out as a 16-year-old. He did a great job, because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's so funny because George Lucas looks legitimately like miffed that he keeps fucking this word up. And it's like, he's a kid and you made up this dumb word. So yeah,
you understand he's 9.
And then the movie comes out and like everybody hates it. And it's behind Jar Jar Binks. It's pretty much agreed that you're the second worst thing about it.
Yeah.
And he might have acted in a couple things past that, but he retired very shortly thereafter. And there's like YouTube videos of him at like age 21 at conventions being interviewed. He's super fucking depressed.
Extremely bitter.
I mean, I can't really fault him.
Matt, look, you did this thing where I don't know where you meant to go with that story, that whole narrative that you just said, but
the story of Jake Lloyd.
But I felt like you were going to be like, well, Will Wheaton, like, I see why he sucks. I know why he sucks, but Jake Lloyd, let me tell you why he might not suck so bad. And then
it
didn't go there.
Well, I'm trying to say that his story is really sad, and that I would much rather hang out with that dude and commiserate with him than I would have to spend any time in a room again with Will Wheaton talking about his fucking successes, even though he sucked way more. There's way more hours of him sucking on film.
Listen, don't you think that his successes are like shallow enough that they don't even really count as successes? Because like, it's not like he was on a Star Trek TV show and he was really great and people loved him and remembered him and like, you know, he has a fond place in people's hearts. It's like he was on this TV show that people liked, but he was like the thing about the show that people did not like.
Uh-huh.
In much the same way as Jake Lloyd was a part of Star Wars that people didn't like.
I mean, and Will Wheaton wasn't on the show the whole time. He was there for the first couple of seasons, and then they're like, let's send Wesley to Starfleet Academy so we don't have to deal with him anymore. So we can use more interesting plot devices.
I have made sure, as I've gone back and rewatched select episodes, to not pick ones with fucking Will Wheaton in them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that in my life. I'm very pro Jake Lloyd. I just wanted to sketch out his trajectory and say, then he didn't try to hoodwink people. Yeah, he didn't try to hoodwink people into thinking he was actually good the whole time and then get roles on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He took his L, and he retired and got kind of bitter, but you know what? That's totally reasonable.
I'm just asking, which one do you think it would be, like, more of a bummer to hang out with, you know?
Oh, yeah, that was the original question. Oh, more of a bummer. Can you get to that?
Can I get to that? Like a bummer mood or a bummer, like, I hate this experience.
Which hang would make you feel worse?
Definitely Will Wheaton.
Okay.
Well, because you'd just be, like, stewing in anger the whole time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Matt's just...
Hell yeah. I have it out for that dude. That dude and David Beckham both.
All right. It's right here.
I'm in a
completely different direction. You're like, obviously Will Wheaton and David Beckham.
Matt, fuck, marry, kill David Beckham, Will Wheaton, Jake Lloyd. Go.
No. We're on the Trouble with Tribbles page, but now I gotta do this.
I think the answer is obvious. I have my answer.
Oh boy. Shit. Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck David Beckham, marry Jake Lloyd.
Right. Yeah, correct. You got it right.
Got it. Great job. 10 out of 10.
Now, question for John. Let's round robin this one, and then John, you'll ask one of Caitlin. Different three. You'll just have to think of your own three. Okay?
From Star Trek?
From anywhere.
From anything.
From anything.
Know, but for yours, John, I'm doing this from Star Trek. So,
okay.
Fuck, marry, kill. Captain Kirk. Let's just do the original three: Captain Kirk, Bones, and Spock. Because the thing is that I don't think you actually want to kill any of them, but you gotta kill one of them.
I know who I would kill. I do know who I would kill. Like immediately.
Yeah. So probably
talk
I
us
would...
through, John.
Yeah.
Make the
so,
hard choices.
So I'm not the biggest fan of Kirk. I just find him like. Kind of really self-centered in a lot of the episodes, and that carries over to what I think of Will Shatner.
That's fair. So he is kind of a jerk on Twitter.
Yeah, he's just like doesn't seem like a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. And so I would probably say that I would kill Kirk,
correct.
Fuck Spock, and then marry Bones because Bones is like. He'll meet you where you're at. Like, he gets a little, like, God damn it, man. I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
Yeah, he's a
like,
passionate man.
He's got the passion, but he also has, like, the emotional intelligence that I don't think, that Spock obviously doesn't have.
Like, literally, definitionally doesn't have.
Yeah
really
exactly.
As a
character-defining feature. True. Does not. True. And so, like, Spock would just be, like, kind of insufferable at times to, like, live with. And so,
but wait.
I feel like Bones could meet you halfway.
Think about this though, John. Don't Vulcans like basically fuck once a year, and then when they do, it's really hot and passionate.
Yeah. So there's a Vulcan.
Spock sex be like kind of like a lot to deal with?
Yeah, I mean it would be very intense.
But
certainly,
you only have to deal with it once a year.
I'm not saying for the marriage sake. I'm saying for, are you sure you want to fuck Spock? Because Spock could maybe fuck you into oblivion.
Is the fuck of that game?
I mean, what I'm saying... Look. I think I could survive a night with Spock, okay?
what I want to know is the fuck in that game... What are the terms of this? Is this a one-time deal? Is this on an ongoing
like
basis?
Buddies?
Like Spock's my side piece now.
Right,
how
does it work? What are the parameters?
Matt, you asked the question.
Thing. I think it's a one-time thing.
A one-time thing.
Now, John, I'm not going to say you have to do this, but I think for Caitlin's, you should just pick Star Wars characters because this will make Caitlin's life a living hell.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Just give you the most emotional like trouble. I think. I think I know who my three would be for you.
Okay,
Caitlin, but John, this is your court now.
Oh, okay. So, let's do it. Let's go with Obi-Wan. Luke, and Han Solo.
young Obi-Wan or old Obi-Wan?
I think Caitlin can pick, right?
Yeah, your choice. You choose.
Are you going Ewan, or are you going going for something a little bit more a little bit more aged?
I'm gonna go Ewan, and I'm gonna obviously kill Luke.
Okay. Okay.
Just obviously, right off the bat.
That's a good call.
And then definitely fuck Han Solo, marry Obi-Wan. Is he allowed to get married?
Yeah. No, technically not.
But we still can, just for the sake of the game.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't feel like I even need to explain that. Like, that seems totally
That's pretty self-explanatory.
To me.
It makes, yeah.
Okay, but let's I can't resist. I do have to switch one out and see if it changes your order, okay? What if instead of Luke it was Rey?
Yeah, go.
Oh.
Now you're stuck.
I can't answer that. How do I answer that?
You can't kill Obi-Wan or any of them.
Oh my god. I mean if I had to kill one of those, I would kill Han Solo.
Mm. No way.
What else am
you'd
I going to do?
You'd he dies anyway.
He dies anyway.
You'd be like, it's okay, Han. I'm definitely going to fuck you tonight. And then through the chest.
I'm not happy about it.
I can't believe you'd Kylo Ren him.
That's
oh my God.
Well,
that's
kind of
weird because he's the son.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. Fuck Mary Kylo Ren. Should I just click on Tribbles? Because it's on this page,
yeah.
I'm sure
did,
of
did
it.
Did you even mention that you clicked on the episode Trouble with Tribbles?
I totally
did.
He did
a little bit ago. Okay. Yeah, a little bit back.
Now, hold on, though.
This has just been
a
leisurely... We've just been going at a leisurely pace here.
Yeah. There is a link to the article for fur.
Yeah.
Furry.
Yeah, the link is furry, but the article directs to...
Why don't you pop it into a new tab?
I want to pop this into a new tab, but step four, Tribbles.
Yeah.
We did it in four steps. This doesn't really... It doesn't really count as a real record, because, you know, with the regular can you get to that, play style on regular old Wikipedia, you don't have the advantage of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
there's no index of all of it.
There's no index of all the events of the world that you can kind of navigate to.
Yeah.
But now I'm curious. John, on this page, can you explain to me this screenshot from the cartoon series where there's a giant tribble in the captain's chair?
It's actually just cotton candy.
Yeah.
It is very pink.
Yeah, it's a common misconception. Yeah. Kirk was just... He'd get tired on long voyages, so he just would stand up, you know, get his blood flowing, eat some cotton candy, hop back on, you know, and say stuff like fire phasers or warp 9, you know, things that...
Wait, no, he's not an admiral. Yeah.
No. He does become an admiral.
Yeah, Kirk does. What's Spock's rank? Is he a lieutenant?
Spock, he's a science officer, so I think he's either a lieutenant commander...
But they always call him
commander.
Lieutenant
commander
sounds
right. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. So all right,
just
Spock's
give me
the number.
Give me a little space here. I'm doing a thing. I'm doing a bit.
Okay, go.
This bit's going to be great. It's going to be totally worth this whole setup and run up that I'm doing.
Okay, good.
Mr. Spock, if you could please have the teleporter room beam me up a large portion of cotton candy into my chair. Thank you. That has been my very flawless little shout.
Was that your Captain Kirk?
Super good. I know that you're just kind of taken aback by how good it was and how excellent the bit was.
Yeah, it was so. It was actually so good that I wasn't. I was like,
it might have even registered
Matt's
as bad.
Captain Kirk? Was that Matt's Captain Kirk or was that actually Captain Kirk?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I didn't expect that kind of compliment.
I wouldn't have been talking shit about Will Shatner if I knew he was going to be on the podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody.
This whole time.
This is the first episode with two guests on, Will Shatner. Thank you. It's me. Matt took credit for my voice, but it's actually me here in the room, in his living room. It's very small.
Now, I have to say, I don't think we're ever going to we're never going to complete the episode with somebody that talks in this way. So maybe if you could just turn the mic back over to Matt.
I don't understand.
You pause a lot.
What?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever told you you pause a lot?
Never. Nobody has told me that.
No, it's not come up.
I hate it. This is the worst bit I've ever done. I'm contemplating editing this all out. We should check out what Memory Alpha has to say about Fur before we close out this episode.
Definitely, definitely.
Fur was the name for the body hair of non-human mammals. Well, Memory Alpha.
There we go.
This is like the Star Wars article about beer.
Huh.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Beer is
Wikipedia.
A fermented beverage.
Popping up in a new tab. I just have to see something here. Wikipedia
fur
now.
Furs. Hair?
But they do have a page on Wikipedia for hair.
I mean, what was most interesting was the second search result, which was mood fur. Like, what is mood fur?
It's the fur.
Well, mood fur.
In a room, like, when you want to, like, it's like mood
set
lighting.
The mood.
Yeah, you want to set the mood.
I do love that the picture for hair
Chewbacca
on Wikipedia is just Chewbacca. But this is the Legends page for hair. Is there a canon page?
Hair doesn't exist in canon.
On the
it's just Wookiees.
On the canon page for hair, it's two Wookiees.
And one of them is definitely Chewbacca.
It's Chewbacca and another guy.
Oh my god.
From Revenge of the Sith.
But so Memory Alpha is clearly superior to Wikipedia because it has pages for fur and hair.
Boom.
No, Matt, it's just that fur doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe. You ever seen anything furry?
It's hair that doesn't exist.
Hair. There's only hairy things.
Only hair.
Wait. Okay. Are we going to say that Ewoks, then?
Hair. Hair.
Not fur?
Nope. They have to get it cut, actually. You think mm-hmm. it's fur because it's all a uniform length, but they have to go to the barber just for their whole body.
There's one Ewok that has, like, a pair of shears.
Mm-hmm.
Made them out of sticks.
Yeah.
Jesus. You learn something new about Star Wars every day. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Now the page for hair on Memory Alpha, the first image is of Lieutenant Tom Paris of Star Trek Voyager pulling out a patch of his hair, which seems really gruesome.
Oh, he's looking rough in this pic.
Yeah.
I think there's more going on besides pulling out his hair.
John, is this the one where he transforms into a salamander man?
That's correct.
Uh-oh.
Oh, thank God.
It's the worst episode.
Can you please, for my edification and Caitlin's, give us a brief rundown of what happens in this episode and why it's just so goddamn bad?
I mean, I can see from his image, actually. But
so, yeah, what happens is Tom Paris is trying to break some spaceship records. He's trying to go real fast. And he goes so fast that he begins to de-evolve. And so over the course of the episode, he gets increasingly sick as he devolves. Mm-hmm. And eventually the same thing happens to Captain Janeway. And as they're devolving, becoming salamanders, they steal a shuttle, go down to a planet, and have a little salamander family before they are inexplicable. I mean, there's probably something that changes them back, but I don't remember what it was. But then they're changed back, and they leave their salamander babies on that planet to continue going back to the Alpha Quadrant. Yeah, it's a terrible episode.
Just left them there.
Yeah, yeah. You see their whole salamander family with like primitive CGI, and they're kind of slithering on their planet because obviously, yeah, Captain Janeway and Tom Paris fuck and make a salamander family, and then just leave it.
They could have scooped them up and put them in a fish tank or something.
Yeah, you know, you'd think that might be something they would like to study, but apparently not. They're just not interested in their children.
Science thing aside, there's a very good reason why there's a prime directive, which is like, don't fuck with other species, and it should also include don't invent a species and then leave it on a planet.
Yeah,
right.
And also, like, everybody in Starfleet must like there's a good reason why the ships have counselors, because when you devolve and then kidnap the captain and then turn into salamander people and fuck and then get turned back to humans, that must, you must need some therapy after that.
Yeah, no one really comes through that unscathed, that experience. But apparently that's possible in the future. So, you know, we have evolved both mentally and physically.
Gosh. And you lose all your hair. And I got to say one thing before we close out this episode. This hair page is pretty brutal. There's a whole line here that just says, it's its own paragraph. The Federation captain, Jean-Luc Picard, had been bald for most of his adult life.
I mean, the next line is also very good. Guinan was attracted to bald men from TNG Booby Track, as played by Whoopi Goldberg. Correct. Yeah.
Well, this is perfect. This is so good. Thank you for joining us this week and educating us on Star Trek, John. And
yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate hanging out.
And sorry we stole so much time to talk about Star Wars. You know, it's just Caitlin and I are more comfortable.
Oh, that's totally fine. I don't like to compare them. I think that they're different. Like, they're not. They have specific things about them that are unique to each series that are the reason that you watch them, and they don't necessarily overlap. But I think they're both super fun and integral to a pop culture and culture more broadly for Americans.
Yeah, so in other words, you're not a real Trekkie, in other words.
I guess not. I mean, I've never called myself a Trekkie.
Caitlin, are you a real Jedi?
Yeah, I'm a follower of the Jedi religion.
Oh.
Well, I'm really sorry, Caitlin, that I made you even consider the notion of having to choose between Han, Obi-Wan, and Rey. In a fuck, marry, kill. That was really unfair.
Yeah, that was cool. I feel like I lobbed you kind of a softball, and then you just hit me with that.
Yeah. Gut punch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really easy to know if I'm going to kill Will Wheaton or not.
Yeah, the answer is yes, you will.
That is my. That is one of the things on my bucket list. Saying it here.
This has been Can You Get to That? I am your co-host, Caitlin Best. You can find me on Twitter at BestKabest, BestKabest. You can also tweet at the show at GetToThat. And we love it when you tweet us topic ideas. So do that.
Yeah. I'm your other co-host, Matthew Olson. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. And just last night, I recorded the very last episode of Finite Jest.
That feels good, don't it?
It feels really fucking good to be done with that.
Well,
book.
Although, does it? It feels good to be done, but does it feel? I mean, do you feel like you lost those hours,
Caitlin?
Or
the last episode of that show is 4 hours long.
Oh my God!
Oh my! I mean, do you just feel like pompous and like superior, like intellectually? Now that you've done this,
I feel like a real Will Wheaton about it. Honestly, I am ashamed, but you can check it out. It will be up by
the
time.
It's on the internet forever.
Yeah. All the Finite Jest will be online at the time that this episode of Can You Get to That goes up. And I know earlier I said the technology isn't quite there, but as we both thank our guest this week, Caitlin, our guest, John Mills, once again, thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Caitlin, no problem. Thank you, guys.
I want to see if we can push this technology to its limits and see if we can, in synchronicity, if we can, both of us speaking together, leave John with a final question.
Oh.
You think it's possible, the two of us together?
We can sure try. I can do one of these.
All right, yeah. You
when
count
to,
us in.
When I get to one, okay?
All right, all right.
What if technology? Bad, though.